We'll be right back to today's show. But before we do, I want to let you know that you can get a free copy of my first book, Think Unbroken, Understanding and Overcoming Childhood Trauma, when you leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcast, either on desktop or on your phone. All you have to do is go to Apple Podcast, look up Think Unbroken, click follow in the top right, and then go and leave a review at the bottom. And when you leave that review, screenshot it and send it over to book.thinkunbroken.com. where you can upload your contact and mailing information, and we will send you a free copy of this award-winning best-selling book, absolutely free, including shipping. Just go to book.thinkunbroken.com to upload your screenshot review from Apple Podcast for the Think Unbroken podcast. And until next time, my friend, be unbroken. I'll see ya.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through your work with relevant, real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
You're listening to the Think Unbroken podcast, and I'm your host, Michael Unbroken. I'm an author, speaker, coach, and advocate for adult survivors of childhood trauma and abuse. In this podcast, you will learn how to transform your trauma into triumph, turn breakdowns into breakthroughs, and go from victim to being the hero of your own story. You can learn more at thinkunbrokenpodcast.com. And of course, check us out on Apple Podcasts and Spotify at Think Unbroken Podcast. When we're young, we have no idea. You're just like, just going to survive.
Yeah.
And then when you become older, it becomes this amazing, amazing tool if you're able to leverage it.
Yes.
But now here you are getting into 15 years old. You've made an incredibly difficult decision. Mm-hmm. At the same time, you're deciding to take control of your life. At 15 years old, getting kicked out of school for selling drugs, right? And so what I'm curious about, where did that decision come from for you? Like, if you want to sit down, was there an experience, multiple experiences? I remember kids emancipating themselves, and I even researched it myself when I was like 16. And I was just like, I guess I just didn't really get it then.
Yeah.
But what happened in your life where like, I'm actually going to do this thing?
Yeah. Oh, man. So, I mean, truthfully, so I was a part of student council. I was a part of volleyball, basketball, track. I had won like a homecoming queen, because I think that was the year after eighth grade. Eighth grade, I had won like homecoming queen. So like eighth grade was the best year of my life. I felt like I could do anything. I felt like I was on top of the world. And I've had one person who listened to me, and she was my social worker at the school. And she motivated me. She told me to read books. She told me that I'm not tangential, that I'm important. And I didn't know what that word meant, but I looked it up and I'm like, oh, it means that I'm not just something that could be replaced. Like, I am somebody. Like, I'd never had somebody pour into me the way she did. And so she would put these ideas in my head of like, I could do it, you know, and I could be better and I could make this happen. So I like to tell people, all you need is one person to care, one person to show you a route, one person to give you an idea. And it's based on you. But because of what that seed is that she planted, it changed my life. And granted, mine was also a little motive. You know, it's not all peachy creamy. It was kind of like, I'm gonna prove y'all wrong. Like, you ain't getting no more money off of me.
Power in that.
Like, yeah. So it was like, you know, like, so I don't really show that side too much, but it was definitely when I was 15, it was kind of like, you know, like, watch, kind of that Cardi B, like, I'm going to show you. So all of those things, really that one person was really who made it happen. But I had also been a part of a very publicly humiliating, you know, statutory rape at 15, right before I decided to do all that, and nobody believed me. But DNA proved me right. And it was five guys. And this was in a small, small country town. It was so small, all three country towns had to come together to make one high school. It was my freshman year in high school. And it was five guys. And we had went to this party. And remember, like nobody, I did what I wanted to do. I didn't have any, like nobody watching over me. So I go to this party. I'm drinking. I'd never touched a drink my whole life. I used to see my uncle like pee on himself, like, cause, and then he's like, oh, because he's drunk. And I'm like, oh, I don't ever want that to happen, right? So there's power in being exposed to stuff that's the byproduct of something that's bad. But I decided to drink. One thing led to another. They took me in a car, took me in the forest, did what they did, brought me back to the party, no clothes on, completely passed out. The girls washed me up. So basically, all of this happens. I never say a word, which is the very first time that I realized that I did have power, but someone else, like I go to school the next day and we're all playing volleyball and I start to, you know, have blood. So I run out, I run into the locker room and I'm like bawling. I'm like, you know, like I needed to be stitched up. I was hurt really bad. And so, but I wasn't going to say nothing because I wanted this to go away. I'm like, I messed up. Again, my mind rationalized it as, everybody thinks this of me already. Now I'm proving them right. Like I gotta bury this. The girl runs in that washed me off and she's like, I knew this was gonna happen. Are you okay? They raped you. They brought you back to my house yelling. Everybody runs in the locker room. She's crying. All the girls are like, what happened? Some of the girls, it's their boyfriend, two of them. So they wanna fight me because they think I'm like, so there's something that a school teacher has to do, which is called being a mandated reporter. So she, one of my coach has to tell the principal. My principal has to tell the nurse. The nurse has to call the police. The police have to call my foster parents, which at the time was one of my grandmothers who had took me in. And that right there, kind of like, I got to get out this town. I got to get away from everybody. And I'm ruined. But I appreciate them now that I look back for being a mandated reporter because they got me the proper medical attention that I needed. I had to get 26 stitches. I still sometimes wake up and think that somebody's on top of me. Like I have these vivid dreams where it's like I'm asleep, but I wake up and I can't get up. And it's like somebody's on top of me. And the only thing I could do is like go back to sleep. And it happens every now and then. But, you know, that stemmed all of my disbelief in myself and also my belief in myself. So it made me feel like, one, I have to run away from this small town. I have to, like, I messed up their life and I don't know how to fix that because they got prosecuted. The woman who threw the house party went to jail for over a year. The girls were prosecuted for washing me off. I mean, everybody told the truth. Except the guys, but DNA was found. So that case really set me up. And I don't think I've ever told that story publicly, but that's literally as I'm thinking through in honesty, you know, just sharing with you, that case is what prompted everything for me to get away and to prove everybody wrong and to change my life and to be in control. So the fact that I went and met these women that I trusted, because it was women. I didn't trust men, but I thought I could trust women. That's what catapulted me into trafficking. And when it happened and started, I'm like, my body's ruined anyway. It's like, nobody cares.
One of the things that like hits home for me in what you're saying is there is, and that's, you know, that's just such a tremendously painful experience.
Yeah.
And you think about those moments and the commonality of it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, something I have shared publicly, I was like, I was molested as a child. And you see this happen again and again and again and in communities like ours.
Yeah.
Families like ours and schools like ours. And it's like, but why? And then you go, hey, well, this is both a generational and genetic and an energetic experience.
Yeah.
That precedes us. Mm-hmm. Like it goes back thousands of years. And you're just like, okay, well, sometime, and this is a real way to phrase it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think about this a lot. I'm going like, it's the inevitability of the experience of the life of the people who grow up how we grow up.
Yeah.
It's so unbelievably common that I use the word inevitability.
Yeah.
And it's heartbreaking because you're here, you're like, okay, well, you know, we then learn to not trust. We learn to not love. We put up these big barriers. Many of us, and I include myself in this, to cope with it, it's drugs, it's alcohol, it's sex, it's gambling, it's addiction, it's driving 150 miles on the highway, an hour on the highway, it's doing all these crazy, crazy things. And yet still there's this element for some of us where you come out the other side of it with resilience.
Yes.
But that takes a long time.
Years, right? My whole life.
So much work to get there.
Yes.
And so now you're in this position where you've made a decision, you're going to emancipate yourself. You luckily, if you go look at resilience research, it always points to this concept that there's one person who supports you. The chances of you finding success are exponential versus some of these kids who have no one. And so even one counselor, I mean, that's a big deal. And I always point to, you know, one of my teachers, Mr. Hollingsworth, who still listens to the show sometimes, Cornerstone, because he sat down with me one day. He goes, "You're not supposed to be
here." Yeah.
Right. And he just saw something in me.
Wow.
When I didn't, right? And that, was, like, that was a really, really big deal. And so now here you are, you're facing a reality that is almost impossible to make tangible because there's no way that you don't become dissociated from something.
Yeah.
Right? There's no way right? Obviously.
Yeah.
But the thing that I think about is the autonomic response that our bodies have to that amount of stress is for you to disappear.
Yes.
It's how you.
Yes.
Was this a part of the experience for you? What was that?
So I knew that this small, I looked at the people around me, everybody in that small town, either you go to college, you make it out, or you work at a local place. I feel like if I wouldn't have went through that, I would have been one of those girls who would have stayed there and kind of went into the same trajectory of what I saw other people doing. Because I didn't experience anything else. When that happened to me, I knew I had to run far away because one, I didn't want to be associated with that story, that I didn't want people to know that about me. And then I also didn't want to be hurt. I didn't want to die. I really thought that they would fight me or try to hurt. Like these were Division 1A state champions that had already went to college and came back for homecoming. Four of them lost their scholarship because of decisions they made. But that little 15-year-old girl thought it was because of decisions that I made. So I felt like I felt like I messed up everybody's life. I felt like I was the worst thing to happen to that town. And if I left it, then they would be better without me and that I could go and I could reinvent myself. And that's what I did. So when I say reinvent, my story, like after that, they're like, "What's your..." I'm Shemetria, you know, before they called me Nene. That was my nickname because my middle name's Janae. So I changed my name. I'm like, I'm going to use my birth name, Shemetria Gonzalez. I'm going to emancipate myself. Now I'm legally grown. I'm going to get a job. Sonic Drive-In's right across the street from my school. I'm going to go to Sonic and get a job. I'm going to sign myself into school. What school? I don't know. I'm going to pick a school based on where I could get it, stay in a shelter or somewhere. So like, I got a bus ticket to Dallas, and that was it.
How far away was Dallas from that town?
So this was a small town called Garwood, Texas, and it's like 45 minutes outside of Houston. So honestly, to me, like Dallas was like the big city, you know, right? Houston was still too close, so Dallas was the next big thing in Texas. So and my sister also went to UNT. I forgot that part. So I felt like I would have some support there. So I have an older sister. My mom got pregnant at 11. She had her at 12. And my older sister has a PhD. She's married. She has three kids, a husband, same family lineage. Like, that's big for us. That never happens. No one else that I know in my family has one father of their children, is married, educated, and went through adversity like she did. So in a way, I was kind of following in her footsteps. But she tried to take me in for a little while and then she kicked me out. I was troubled and I was hurt and I did not know how to cope with that.
And so I'm wondering, What was that like for you? As you bit up the courage, which is the word I think is most appropriate when you're walking into the gym for the first time, as you bit up the courage to be like, I'm going to do this, what were the mental health shifts that started to happen? Because those things that you did then are paying dividends today.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. Like, there is such a correlation. Because for me, going back, like as I started to lose weight and I started to look better, I started to feel better. My energy went up. As a result, my confidence went up. I was more acceptable going out and speaking to people. I felt better about who I was. I didn't feel as ashamed in my body. Like, it was all of these things that direct, and all of the, a big part of that was why I had mental health challenges, because I didn't like the way I looked in the mirror and all of those things. Mm. So there's a huge correlation. And it's really interesting you should say this about someone saying that you're fat shaming, because this happened to me a couple of months ago. I put up a before and after photo, and I was just like, back at this guy, I didn't like who this guy was. I didn't like how I looked. I was always the guy who was too ashamed to take a shower from the beach. And I talked about my thing, and someone was like, I look like your before photo, and I'm healthy. And it was just turning into this whole thing of like, you're fat shaming and saying like, there's something wrong with this. And I was like, that's not the point. Like, I was talking about my journey, but I think it's interesting how some people, when they're struggling with their own thing, they take it as like a negative. Whereas for me, it was just sharing of like, I wanted to make this change, and just trying to spread like that belief that other people can, if it's something they want to do. But yeah, I think it's, going back to your question, I think it's so incredibly powerful for your mental health. I even find now, if I skip training for a while, I find like the stress of work and everything else goes, starts weighing on a little bit heavier, and it just has to be a non-negotiable in my life.
Yeah, it does. You know, it's funny. I was just doing some research on Peter Attia, who is a famous scientist, doctor, and researcher here in the States, about health and longevity. And of all of the potential actions that one person could take to increase their longevity, their long-term health, and their lifespan, the number one thing that you can do is exercise. You want to have a better mental health, physical health, emotional health, spiritual health, energetic health. Exercise is number one, point blank, period. But dude, look, and I think the reason, and obviously this isn't a conversation about exercise, but I think it's really important. Like, if you do not move your physical body, your other, which is the most important element of your well-being, you will be in dis-ease. You will probably have disease, right? And so you head down this path where it's like, okay, wait a second, what should I really be doing? This conversation is so much really about the journey to discovery and being who it is that you are today. When you look at who you are as Byron today, and you're measuring the things that have led down the path, what are some of the cornerstones? What are some of the key elements that have helped you become who you are?
Yeah, so I think a big thing in my life is just having something bigger than yourself that you're striving towards. Because even though the work I've been doing over the last decade has evolved and pivoted in various ways, the mission behind it's always been the same. It's always been wanting to help as many people as possible who are struggling like I was take control of their lives. And that for me has been the cornerstone of what drives me to do what I do. And I see a lot of people who don't have a purpose bigger than themselves, and that's how they just get stuck going through the motions. Like, I am fortunate to work with a lot of very successful people, and I've spoken to guys who've got millions in the bank. On paper, they've got it all, but they're absolutely miserable. Like, they've sacrificed everything to get to where they are. Their marriages are broken down. Their kids don't speak to them. Like, they hate life. And for me, it's just, part of it is because they just keep chasing money. And I'm all for going for money and wealth and stuff. Like, no problem with that. But I'm just a big believer, like, you have to have a purpose behind it. And that's still the thing that drives me. During the bad days and the days where you get knocked down, because anyone in business knows that you have times like that, it's still like the thing that keeps me going. It's like, do you know what? If I can go to bed tonight, even though knowing that I'm doing something that's trying to make the world and my life a better place, then that's what keeps me moving forward.
Yeah. What is that mission for you now?
It's the same one I said a few minutes ago. It's like wanting to help people who are struggling like I was, or who are at a place where like they know they're meant for something more, but they're just getting in their own way. Like, they know what to do, but they're not doing it. Like, whether it was when I was doing the health work, that was the focus, the mindset work is the evolution of that. It's always going to help people who are struggling like I was, so they can avoid the traps that I was in.
Yeah. My mentor often refers to it as the dummy tax. And a lot of what I do and have built and created with Think Unbroken is, can I help people not pay the dummy tax? Because I've already done it. Because trust me, I've done some of the dumbest you could possibly imagine. But I think the thing that people get to, this journey is hard, man. You know this. I mean, you're facing with, you know, dealing with childhood trauma, lack of confidence, being bullied, being overweight, working a job that sucks, dealing with a father who's terminally ill, facing your own demons, going down this path. And, you know, it's almost apropos that the title of your book is Maybe You Should Just Give Up. Maybe You Should Give Up. And I feel like so many people, they have just given up on life. They just quit. They're like, I'm done. Obviously, I realize that there's a connotation that's very different in the book. And so I'd love for you to talk about what that really means. Like, what does Maybe You Should Give Up mean?
Yeah. So over the last decade now, I've worked with people in 15 different countries. What I discovered is that there are 7 mental blocks that every single one of us hold on to that stops us from living the life we want, whether it's fear, comparing ourselves to others, being too hard on ourselves, worrying about problems that haven't happened yet. So Maybe You Should Give Up. It's not about giving up on your goals and dreams. It's about giving up holding on to everything that's stopping you from turning them into a reality. Ultimately, it's a book about empowerment, about helping you break through everything that's holding you back so that you can take control of the life that you want.
So going into that and looking at it on paper, people will hear, okay, cool, 7 things. Sounds easier said than done. But Byron, you don't know my life, man. You don't know what it's like. I'm in debt. I'm struggling. My relationship's falling apart. I got kids. I don't have any extra time. I'm overweight. I mean, I can keep going, right? And it's like, well, okay, well, what do I do, man? Like, where do I start? My life is a disaster. Like, what do I actually do here?
Yeah. So the first thing that we always need to figure out is, who does someone need to become to turn their life around? Because part of the reason people are stuck is they're spending their days with the same habits, the same behaviors, the same routines, and then hoping that they're going to be able to change their life. And the reality is that what made you who you are today isn't going to help you become who you're meant to be tomorrow. And that's why the first step in any journey of transformation is, you need to have a vision of where you want to go, but then you also need to figure out, who's the version of you that's turned it into a reality? And anyone listening to this right now can do it. Like, just think about, okay, your goals and dream and vision you want, get a mental image in your mind of, what does the version of you who made that happen look like? And then ask yourself, what routines did they develop? What behaviors did they create? What non-negotiables did they do every single day that got them to where they are? That's going to help you create a blueprint to figure out, okay, these are the exact changes that you need to embody to get to where you want to be. But then, knowing that is not enough, you need to start pushing yourself to show up as that person.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Everything that you do. And the way that you do that is, you have to take feelings like willpower and motivation out of the equation. When it comes time to do something, you need to ask yourself, what could the person I want to become do right now? Would they make excuses? Would they put it off? Or would they take action? Like, whether it's hitting the gym, having that tough conversation, working on that business, whatever it is, you have to start making decisions and taking action as the person you want to become. Because when you start doing that, then you'll stop overcoming your excuses, your fears, your reason why it can't be done. And you'll start building your confidence, your momentum. And over time, you'll start evolving into that next level version of yourself.
How do you navigate at the beginning of this discovery? I have talked to so many people I've coached over the years where we're sitting in a session and I look across from them and I go, oh, no, you're done. We're not coaching right now. Take the week off. You're not allowed to heal this week. Go live. Because so many people get caught up and then they leave down this path of, like, they're burned out on a healing. And I'm like, dude, like, you're missing the point. So if somebody is in the beginning and they're like, I'm overwhelmed, I hear what you're saying, I get it. Like, these little seeds start to grow into giant trees, but then I'm out here like harvesting an entire orchard. Like, What do you do? Like, how do you navigate the start of this?
Well, with regards to overwhelm, I always tell people, overwhelm is what happens when you're focused on too many things at once, or something that's so big that you are like, I don't even know where to start. And I always liken it to when you've got too many tabs open on your computer, and it just makes the whole system either slow down or crash. And the solution is just work on one tab at a time, right? You can't, I mean, even if you've got 15 tabs open on your computer, you can't do all the things at one time. So start with one thing. And that helps people to just focus and not have to worry about all the things. So even if it's one big project, break it down into the steps and then just focus on step one. Don't worry about the other 14, right?
Yeah, but I want to be healed now, Sharon.
Well, we haven't created that magic pill yet, so we'll get back to you when that happens. But I mean, yeah, listen, we are a now generation, right? We want, and with technology and everything else, like, it feeds into that of like instant gratification. However, it did not take a minute for you to get to where you are in terms of your trauma and your wounds and all that stuff. And it's not going to take a minute to get out of it. It's a process. And I always tell my clients, like, even if you've had years of trauma, let's say it's 10 years, it's not going to take 10 years to undo it necessarily. It's just, but the opposite is also not true. It's not going to take one session. Right. So it's kind of like somewhere in between there. And depending on the kind of therapy that you do or the kind of modality and how much work you put into it and all that, you'll get there. But we have to be realistic, just like with anything else. You're not going to get results like that because that's just not how things work. However, I will say there are amazing therapeutic modalities that have accelerated the results for specifically healing trauma. So I don't know if your listeners are familiar with EMDR. It's eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing. That is one technique that for people who have singular traumas, like I was in a car accident, or I went to a dentist and I was traumatized, or I had somebody break up with me in a really crash way, whatever it is, right? If there's something that is like a singular incident that can truly help, if it's kind of a long stemming trauma, it can help with an incident at a time, but it's not going to necessarily change all of it, right? If you've had like abuse for 8 years of your childhood, you can't like fix it like that, but it is great for all those other things. And that's huge because, I mean, I've had clients who have overcome distress levels of 10 out of 10 in as little as 15 minutes, right? Crazy. And so these modalities are being developed. And I think that is the next best thing to instant gratification, because that doesn't really exist. I mean, but it does work really quickly. And I would say anything that utilizes the body is a way better approach to managing the recovery from trauma than anything that starts in your brain, right? Because our brain is just so fixed on the way that it thinks about things. And we've got these beliefs, and it's just like a lot harder to move that than it is to tackle from the bottom up, which is your emotions, right? If you can move the energy through the body, it actually just works a lot faster, and you can bisect the mind. Like, you can not have to go through all the thoughts. You can just kind of have the energy kind of transpire, which is a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so true. And I think that also just going to the beginning, because it is like these little bits and pieces you chunk away at. It's these nuances. It's like, if you understand that the relationship with time has to be adjusted, and if you can give yourself the freedom from leveraging this journey as into if, then, when, like, oh my God, there's so much freedom in it. Cause it's like, I still have
Like, I woke up the other day and I was like, I'm still dealing with this from 25 years ago.
Yeah.
I've been to therapy. I've done EMDR. I'm like the guy. And it's like, yeah, I still have it. Like, it's still a part of it. There are still these moments.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things people get lost in, I mean, there's probably still moments where you have resentment towards your mother, right? And it's like in the nuance, but you notice it, you bring attention to it. You recognize that that's actually not your being. It's not your organism. It's like your brain, because your brain is like, yeah, don't you remember that one time? And you're like, shut up, brain. You don't understand like the life that I'm in right now. Because, you know, it's funny. I had Dr. Caroline Leap on the show. I don't know if you're familiar with her.
Yeah, she was on my podcast as well.
She's an incredible human being. And I told her, I was like, you know, I have this theory that your brain is a liar. And she goes,
oh my God, 100%. Totally. 100%.
And I just sit here and I think to myself, the reason why we often get pulled back into those old emotional states is that our brain is looking for supporting data. Like, it's that,
yes,
old, or, you 100%. Know, it's like, you will go and find what you're looking for. And so if you, yes, still want to be mad about from 30 years ago, guess what? You will go, fuck, oh my God, I remember when Tommy stole my shoe and that guy, I hope he got hit by a car, right? And you're like, but wait a second, that's not logical. That's just your brain being an.
Well, it's kind of like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but I remember when I became a parent and all of a sudden.
I have not had that experience.
No, I know you haven't. But I'm saying something like this, right? Where all of a sudden I started seeing strollers everywhere. And I'm like, is this new? I'm like, no, it's the fact that I wasn't paying attention to it. But now that I have a stroller for my child, I am seeing other people with strollers for their child. Or if it's like, if you get a new car and it's red, all of a sudden you see like lots of red cars everywhere. You know, it's that sort of thing. So I think your brain is looking for patterns. And if you already have an existing pattern, it is going to look for support for that pattern, which is why it's really important to have self-awareness. Like, what is my brain doing? And to be able to challenge all of the stories that it's coming up with, because yeah, your brain often does lie to you. It's not necessarily sharing with you real data that is helpful or that's even true. And so you have to ask those questions. This is the thought in my brain. Is that true? This is the thought in my brain. Is it helpful for me to think about it this way? Because often the answer is going to be no. And if you can figure that out and then find an alternative thought to describe the circumstance that you're in or to think about or interpret the situation, you can change how you feel and the consequent behavior. You can say to yourself, yeah, I mean, I can stay pissed off at Tommy, but that's only punishing me because now I'm carrying around all this resentment. And as they say, resentment is like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. So we're just carrying all this stuff around thinking like, oh, I can't release that because I'm going to let Tommy get away with what he did. Mm. So we have this justification of why we're holding on to it. But in reality, Tommy doesn't even know or care what you're carrying around. You're the one that's feeling it.
How did you find discipline in this journey for yourself? Because that's the place where most people fall off. That's why dreams get shattered. That's why families get disrupted. That's why, you know, we end up having a podcast like this, because it's like, I know that if we can share the real truth about this, because this is not easy, like there, we can create change. So what led you down the path of discipline in this way that it became substantial enough in your life that you decided to hold your commitment to yourself?
I think what happened was everything, like always in my life, I was overweight and it held me back in so many ways because I never had the confidence to try out for certain sports teams or to be involved or to go out places because I was overweight and just, yes, not confident. So as I started to get towards the end of 2020, and I was 320 pounds and just felt absolutely miserable. I was negative. I tried everything to bring everybody down around me, looked for the negativity in other people, couldn't be happy for anybody, and was just feeling miserably, mentally, physically. Got to a point where I knew that I needed something to change. My relationship, we had just had my daughter. She was just a couple of months old, and the stress of just adding a third child to life was around us. And my actions were not helping. I felt stuck because nothing I felt like I had done before, even if it was just a, you know, a half effort, it didn't fix it. It wasn't going to do it. So getting to a point where, like, I started journaling at the end of 2020, and journaling was like, I might better have, you know, taken my clothes off and went outside in front of the neighborhood. Like, it was so uncomfortable for me because I couldn't talk in the, like, to the people that work construction or the firefighters, like, volunteer that I'm with. Like, we weren't talking about journaling because men didn't do that. Men weren't going to keep a diary. Little girls keep diaries. And all the abuse I would have taken from everyone around me if they found out this journal existed. And it just became a place for me to vent, right? I was going to outlet in this place where no one else was going to be able to judge me for it. And that became great for me, for the resources I've learned since, like, why, but like, that was not something I'd ever done before. And it was almost like I was secretive about it. Like, I didn't even tell my wife right away that I was keeping this journal, and this journal became this book. It was me documenting this all along that just, you know, put this out there because that's what I went through. But deciding to change and be disciplined was finding myself that miserable and trying things I'd never tried before, deciding to do Dry January and keep documenting it. It was something started to feel like it was working, and holding myself to the 30 days aside from what everyone else around me was doing. And then the next 28 days and then 100 days. And once I got to the 100 days, it was like, what if I did this for a year? So breaking it down into the smaller steps, the way that I did, and I know that there's literature that proved that, but that wasn't where I wasn't open to that at the time. Keeping those small goals helped me stay consistent because it didn't seem like it was going to be a lifetime of not having something. It was, I'm only worried about this 30 days. I'm only worried about the next 30 days. And once I stacked those together, it became a lot more solid base for me to build on.
Yeah, the nuance is everything, right? It's like, if you can just be in this moment, be in this day, and look at the potential. I think so many people make a mistake when they change their life and they look at all the things that they're losing, right? I'm going to lose my friendships. I'm going to lose watching the game. I'm going to lose this and that. But it's like, that's not really true, because you can still do those. And what I think is fascinating is when you make these decisions, you'll find out who your real friends are, like in a real way, like in a up way where you're like, yo, this is, I thought you were my boy. You're not. I thought you're my homegirl. You're not. Right. But when you look at it through this window of potential and possibility, the thing that I always have come to find is, like, when I give something up, I gain something. You know, I remember once I was talking with Grant Cardone, and he said, you know, to get what you want in life, you have to give something up. And it's like, well, what do you want? Do you want better health? Do you want to lose 50 pounds? Do you want to have a better marriage and relationship with your kids? Do you want to have a better career? Do you want to be able to look in the mirror and feel proud about who you are as a human being? The answer is yes. Well, give up the thing that's f-ing your life up. And that's the hard part, because we get so comfortable in that, where we're like, nope, this is just my life. It sucks. I guess this is how it's going to be. If you were to give anybody just a single piece of advice to how to shift that mindset and look for possibility, what would you tell them?
I would tell them that we don't know what we're doing. I would say that they're not unique, because none of us know what we're doing. So that would help me point to some of the things that I've picked up since. And coming from all of our individual backgrounds and the things that we go through, coming to that realization that we need help, we need to open up to the resources, I wasn't there. I wasn't there. Someone could have told me to listen to Think Unbroken podcast, and I'll get around to it, whether or not it was the most relevant thing for me. And until I got to a point where I was ready to open up to that, it was the aha moment I had when we started talking. It was like, I didn't know that all of these things you talk about, Greg Cardone, I've listened to probably all of his books. Like, he gets me jacked up as much as the next person. I think until you hear him and yourself and everyone say these things, we don't know. We don't realize, when I'm in my habit and routine of working construction and you're listening to the radio, you got to listen to the rock music and have it loud and do that all the time. Yeah, we're not listening to these things because we're not talking about these things. And until we open up ourselves to, this content and this realm, we're missing the message. So another, a thing I would share is that we're missing the message. And until we open up to what's available, we're not going to get it. We won't have that aha moment where we're able to fix what's not worked for us in the past.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, that's so true. I talk about this a lot, but I once had a roommate's girlfriend give me a copy of Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, and I immediately threw it in the trash can. Right. And so, you think about it, it's like, if you're not in a place where you're open to anything to come in and change your life, it's not going to happen. And I think so many people are not, which is devastating to me. It's like, they're just not open, but they want their life to be different. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't work that way. You have to be open to the possibility that there is a plausible aspect that everything that you want in your life, you can have. But it's only going to start with you sitting in your truth. Like, I imagine at some point, Sean, and here's what I think about a lot. There is some dark energy that I think is really powerful. Like, there is the usage of really these moments where you're tired of yourself that I think can play a huge catalyst in this journey. And, for me, when I was at my rock bottom, 350 pounds, smoking 2 packs a day, drinking myself to sleep, I was like, dude, I am so done with myself right now. Do something different. How do you leverage that energy while simultaneously loving yourself?
It's difficult. And in the beginning, probably even through a lot of the 1 year that was the basis of this book, I didn't. Like, I was still miserable, but I was inching towards getting better. I became more appreciative of small things that I didn't notice before. And every time I started to pick up on it, it was that little bit that kept me going, was like, that's actually a really good point. And when I started listening to podcasts and reading books, it wasn't out of recommendation from others, because like I said, I was trying to fix it on my own. So I wasn't ready to talk about it. And I couldn't handle what someone might tell me, which is the hard truths that we need. Like you said earlier, it's to just get off your ass and go. We can't hear it like that a lot of the time, even though we should. So when I started looking for podcasts, I was finding that I could relate to the sports people, the actors, the celebrities that were opening up, Kevin Hart and Matthew McConaughey, and the kind of celebrities that I was growing up watching. And these are people too. They have the same things at their level that I'm dealing with, that we're dealing with. So by hearing them talk about it, all of a sudden I'm open to listening to Dr. Caroline Leaf and Mel Robbins and Gabor Mate and all of these other people, because I felt more ready for what I should have heard in the beginning. But I didn't have that until I could relate to someone that I felt was going through something similar.
Thank you so much for listening to Think Unbroken. Please share this episode with someone who could use it and help us move forward in our mission of ending generational trauma in our lifetime. And if you would, please take 5 seconds to pop on iTunes or Spotify, hit that 5-star, leave a review, and you can also reach out to us on social at Michael Unbroken or at Think Unbroken. And of course, you can check out our YouTube channel at
think unbroken. Thank you for being a part of Unbroken Nation, my friends. And until next time, be unbroken.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now at Menards, saving money on everything to brighten your home. Fidy Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Customize your home with dimmable, color-changing lighting that better fits your lifestyle. And control your smart home products from anywhere using one easy-to-use app. View our entire selection of smart home products from Fidy Electric today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save.